Enough said. VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear stories from John Russell and Katie Weaver. Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report and joins me in the studio to talk more about it. Finally, we hear today's lesson of the day from Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins. But first,
the coffee you had this morning could have its beginnings some 600,000 years ago. Using genes from coffee plants from around the world, researchers built a family tree for the world's most popular kind of coffee. Scientists call it Coffea arabica. Coffee lovers know it simply as arabica. The researchers recently published a new study about coffee. They found that the species appeared around 600,000 years ago. The plant was likely the result of natural breeding of two other coffee species. Victor Albert of the University at Buffalo was a co-leader of the study. He said the plant likely developed without the help of humans. Wild coffee plants likely started in Ethiopia, but they are thought to have been first roasted and brewed in Yemen, starting in the 1400s. In the 1600s, Indian monk Baba Budan is said to have taken 7 raw coffee beans back to his homeland from Yemen, laying the beginnings for coffee's worldwide takeover. Arabica coffee, loved for its smooth and sweet flavor, now makes up 60 to 70% of the global coffee market. The rest of the market is made up of Robusta, a stronger and more bitter-tasting coffee made from one of Arabica's parents, Coffea Canephora. To learn about Arabica coffee's past, researchers studied the genetic information, or genomes, of C. canephora and another parent plant called Coffea eugenoides. They also studied more than 30 different Arabica plants. One of the plants was a sample from the 1700s provided by the Natural History Museum in London. The Swedish naturalist Carl Linnaeus used that plant to give coffee its scientific name. The study appeared recently in the publication Nature Genetics. Researchers from Nestle, a big Swiss food company which owns several coffee brands, helped with the study. The Arabica plant's population changed over thousands of years before humans began growing it. The Arabica plants did well during warm, wet periods, and suffered through dry ones. These difficult times created what scientists call population bottlenecks, when only a small number of genetically similar plants survived. Today, these genetic similarities mean Arabica coffee plants are more likely to be hurt by diseases like coffee leaf rust, which causes costly losses every year. The researchers explored the makeup of one Arabica variety that is resistant to coffee leaf rust. They are interested in parts of its genetic code that could help protect the plant. The study clarifies how Arabica came to be and gives clues that could help protect the crop, said Fabian Echeverria, of Texas A&M University. Echeverria was not involved with the research. Exploring Arabica's past and present could help give information about how to keep coffee plants healthy, ensuring morning cups of coffee into the future. I'm John Russell.
Fall in the United Arab Emirates, flooded streets in the desert nation, and closed Dubai International Airport on Wednesday. The state-run WAM news agency called the rain that began Tuesday a historic weather event. It reported the rainfall as higher than anything documented since the start of data collection in 1949. Rain also fell in Bahrain, Oman, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. However, the rains were more severe across the UAE. One possible cause of the record weather may have been cloud seeding. Cloud seeding is done to increase rainfall. Small planes burn special salt material as they fly through clouds. Several news reports said members of the National Center for Meteorology reported they flew 6 or 7 cloud seeding flights before the rains. An Associated Press examination of flight data showed one aircraft involved in cloud seeding efforts flew around the country Monday. The center did not answer questions Wednesday from the AP. The UAE heavily depends on desalination factories to provide the country with water. The process requires a lot of energy. The UAE seeds clouds partly to increase its limited groundwater. Scientists say climate change in general is responsible for more intense weather, including extreme storms, droughts, floods, and wildfires around the world. Data collected at Dubai International Airport showed that the rains began late Monday. It soaked the sands and roadways of Dubai with some 20 millimeters of rain. The storms intensified Tuesday and continued throughout the day, dropping more rain and hail on the city. By the end of Tuesday, more than 142 millimeters of rainfall had hit Dubai over 24 hours. For comparison, the airport usually averages 94.7 millimeters of rain yearly. Dubai Airport, the world's busiest for international travel, was closed Tuesday night. Standing water flooded taxi stands and surrounding roads. A passenger told the AP, "You cannot get a taxi. There's people sleeping in the metro station. There's people sleeping in the airport." On Wednesday morning, airport officials said the flooding limited transportation and flight crews could not reach the airfield. "Recovery will take some time," the airport said on the social media website X. Paul Griffiths, the airport's leader, said some aircraft had been sent to Dubai World Central, a second airfield. Griffiths told the state-owned radio station Dubai Eye, "In living memory, I don't think anyone has ever seen conditions like it." He added, "We are working as hard as we possibly can to make sure our customers and staff are looked after. Schools across the UAE closed ahead of the storm, and government employees were working from home mostly. Officials sent tanker trucks out into the streets and highways to pump away the water. But high water flooded some homes, forcing people to escape. Some slept in their flooded vehicles Tuesday night. One 70-year-old man died when floodwaters carried away his vehicle. Khatam al-Shakla, an area near Al Ain in Abu Dhabi, saw 254 millimeters of rain Tuesday, the most anywhere in the country, officials said. Rain is unusual in the UAE, but it does happen at times during cooler winter months. Many roads and other areas lack pump, piping, or other systems to deal with heavy rainfall. In neighboring Oman, at least 19 people were killed in heavy rains in recent days, the country's National Committee for Emergency Management said. I'm Katie Weaver.
A report by a cybersecurity company suggests that nearly half of the world's internet traffic is now produced by computer systems called bots. A bot is a software program that often works by itself on the internet to perform the same kinds of actions as humans do. The report, produced by California-based internet security company Imperva, found that 49.6% of worldwide internet traffic came from bots in 2023. That is the highest level reported since the company started examining bot traffic levels in 2013. Traffic from human users fell to 50.4%. Imperva's study also found that web traffic linked to bad bots grew to 32% in 2023, a rise of 30.2% from 2022. Nanhi Singh heads application security at Imperva. She said in a statement that bots are currently one of the most pervasive and growing threats facing every industry. Bots are generally designed to visit websites and independently search for many kinds of online information. They are able to operate at much greater speeds than humans and can process repeated searches and process large amounts of data. Online search advisor Yoast notes that some bots are considered good because they are built to carry out legal, productive activities for businesses. Bots can also be useful to individuals through tools such as OpenAI's chatbot ChatGPT. A chatbot also operates online independently but can assist humans with searching, writing, or processing large amounts of data in a short period. ChatGPT and similar tools are known as generative artificial intelligence, AI. Other bots are considered malicious or bad because they are trained to hack or break into network computer systems. These kinds of bots present themselves as humans and collect private data or financial information that can be used to commit crimes. And some bots are designed to spread misinformation and false news. Some bots, called scrapers, visit web pages and scrape or capture all the data on the website they can find. Another kind is known as a spam bot, which is designed to overload a website or social media service with messages or emails. Imperva's latest report noted that an increase in generative AI systems across the world resulted in the number of simple bots increasing about 6% to 39.6% in 2023. Much of this increase was linked to active AI training systems on the Internet known as large language models. Such systems collect huge amounts of online data to train AI systems like ChatGPT. The study suggested some countries have a much bigger problem with bad bots than others. Web traffic linked to malicious bots in 2023 was highest in Ireland at 71%, the researchers found. Germany was next with 67.5%. Mexico had the next highest at 42.8%. In the United States, bad bot traffic was reported to be 35.4%, up more than 3% from 2022. Imperva reported that account takeovers, one of the most severe results of bad bot activity, increased 10% in 2023 over 2022. Of all login attempts across the Internet, 11% were linked with account takeovers, the company said. The highest number of account takeovers, 36.8%, happened in the financial services industry. Next was the travel industry with 11.5%, followed by business services at 8%. Imperva's Singh said the problem is likely to worsen in coming years to the point where such bots could become omnipresent. She urged organizations to proactively introduce bot management and security tools in an effort to limit automated traffic and prevent dangerous account takeovers. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn is here now to talk more about his technology report. Hi, Brian. Thanks for joining me.
Sure, Ashley. Glad to be here.
This week, you reported on a technology industry study that looked at the continued influence of automated computer bots across the Internet. The report noted that currently about half of worldwide Internet traffic is produced by bot systems. Did the researchers suggest any action businesses or individuals can take to limit harms caused by this kind of traffic?
Yes, so the advice given by security experts to businesses, for example, is to build up all the company's digital defenses and try to prevent any holes in server security that might result in account takeovers, which can be very dangerous. And companies can be aware of this bot-generated traffic, but may not be well-equipped to deal with the problem themselves. So the advice is for businesses also to consider hiring experts to help prepare for such attacks.
What would be an example of an account takeover linked to bad bot activity?
Yes, one way this works is when cybercriminals are able to steal the usernames and passwords of online users. Armed with these, they can then deploy many bots to get into and really take over those user accounts. And these could be bank accounts or credit cards, for example. And the cyber criminals could either abuse those accounts themselves, steal from them, or they could sell access to the data to other individuals or groups.
Okay. Thanks again, Brian, for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
Hello, my name is Anna Mateo.
And my name is Jill Robbins. You're listening to the Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
We talked about lessons 21 and 22 in our recent podcasts. Today, we'll take a closer look at lesson 22. Anna is planning her new children's show with her producer, Amelia.
Washington, D.C. has four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and autumn, or fall. My favorite season is summer because of summer vacation. Hey, that will be a great subject for my new work assignment, the children's show. I can teach what families in the U.S. do during summer vacation. Today, I am planning the show with Amelia. This is the first time we are working together. I hope we can work well together. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Anna. So, what are we going to talk about on the first show?
I want to talk about summer vacation.
That will be fun. Are you going on vacation this summer?
No, this summer I am too busy.
That's too bad.
It's okay. I can go on vacation next summer. This show will be a lot of fun, too.
We hear Amelia and Anna using going to in this lesson to talk about something they will do in the future. I think our listeners already know this verb form. But there are other phrases with going that may not be as familiar to everyone. Did you notice the way they used going on to talk about travel? Amelia asked,
"Are you going on vacation this summer?"
That is another way of asking, "Will you take a vacation this summer?"
Yes, that looks like a phrasal verb. Anna uses it too when she says,
"It's okay, I can go on vacation next summer."
That is like saying, "I can take a vacation next summer."
And next, she uses another expression with vacation, take you on.
Hi there, and welcome to the show. Today, we are going to take you on a summer vacation.
As I understand that, she is saying we will go with her as she takes an imaginary summer vacation. In other situations, we use the phrase take you on to invite someone to go with us on a journey.
That sounds like a very nice invitation to go on a vacation with Anna. Just be careful. You don't want to say, "I'd like to take you for a ride," because that is an idiom that means to mislead someone or lie to them.
Anna uses going in another way in the lesson. She talks about going to an amusement park. That is a place with many fun activities like roller coasters and games. There, we talk about going on a ride.
Another popular summer vacation is going to an amusement park. At an amusement park, you go on rides and eat lots of fun food.
So to summarize, we can go on vacation and go on a ride. And we can take someone on a vacation or take them on a ride. This reminds me of the old Steppenwolf song, Magic Carpet Ride. Do you remember that one, Andrew?
Of course. Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride?
Our listeners may remember the story about Aladdin and the magic lamp. A genie takes him on a ride on a flying carpet.
In the song, the magic carpet is the girl's imagination. Jill, all this talk about summer vacation makes me a little sad because summer has ended here and we are moving into fall.
But Andrew, there are so many fun things you can do in the fall or autumn. There are harvest festivals, leaf peeping.
Hold on a second there. Jill, I'm not sure our listeners know what leaf peeping means.
Then I'll refer them to a story our friend Ana Mateo did a few years ago. She said,
leaf peeping is when people travel to see the beautiful colors of fall foliage. Foliage is another name for leaves, and fall is another word for autumn.
Peep is to take a quick look at something. Like you might peep inside a box to see what's inside.
In the eastern United States, people like to travel to the mountains and places like the states of New Hampshire and Vermont to enjoy the beautiful colors of the leaves on the trees in the fall or autumn. Jill, have you ever noticed we only have one word for each of the other seasons, but we have two words for the season between summer and winter?
That's usually what happened when English speakers had contact with French speakers. Words that were originally in Latin came to the English language through French. It's why we have two words for a kind of meat, lamb and mutton. But let's get back to the fall. I really like the fall because it means the stores all have pumpkin spice flavored foods again.
Aha. So it's all about the food then. For our listeners, pumpkin spice is a flavoring that includes cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, allspice, and cloves. These days in the U.S., stores begin to fill their shelves with pumpkin spice flavored food in August. It's kind of crazy. Anyway, if we're bringing food into the conversation, we've got to talk about pumpkin pie. What's your favorite pie, Jill?
That's easy. Pecan pie. At our Thanksgiving dinner, we must have both pumpkin pie and pecan pie to make everybody happy.
That's a topic for next month. Now, let's see if we can summarize with a little chant or series of sentences.
Oh boy, can I start?
Sure, go right ahead.
Ooh, that's another expression with go we can talk about. Listeners, try repeating after us to practice these expressions from the lesson. Here we go. I want to go on vacation. I want to go on a magic carpet ride.
You can go on vacation. You can go on a magic carpet ride.
Will you take me on a vacation? Will you take me on a magic carpet ride?
I'll take you on a vacation. I'll take you on a magic carpet ride.
I want to see the fall colors. I want to peep at the autumn leaves. And drink pumpkin spice tea.
You can see the fall colors. You can peep at the autumn leaves. You can have your pumpkin spice tea. But it's plain old coffee for me.
Now we have an assignment for you. We'd like to know your answer to our questions. What is your favorite season? And what do you like to do during that season? You can send your answer in an email to us at learningenglish@voanews.com. Or if you're watching this podcast on YouTube, put your answer in the comments. We'll read some of your answers on an upcoming podcast.
That's all for the lesson of the day today. You can learn more on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And Thanks for listening to the lesson of the day. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley.